Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Jesse LaGreca, who has been active with the Occupy Wall Street movement since the beginning. His confrontation with a Fox News producer went viral on the internet, although predictably Fox News chose not to air Jesse's eloquent response to a Fox propagandist's dismissive questions. Jesse did appear later on Sunday on ABC's incestuous Beltway Gabfest this week, where he pointed out to the patronizing pundits that he was probably the first working-class guest they had ever had on their program. Then we will speak with Jeffrey Sachs, the director of Columbia University's Earth Institute and the author of a new book, The Price of Civilization, Reawakening American Virtue and Prosperity. With one political party embracing ignorance and denial and the other unsure of what it stands for, we will discuss Jeffrey Sachs's call for Americans to restore the virtues of fairness, honesty, and foresight as the foundation of a national prosperity. Then finally, we'll speak with veteran political correspondent Bill Boyarsky about California's cruel prison system and how the burgeoning prison population in the United States relates to unemployment as millions of mostly minority young men are warehoused by the prison industrial complex that profits from laws like California's three strikes that continues to feed inmates into the system. Joining us now is Jesse LaGreca, who has been active in the Occupy Wall Street movement from the beginning. He blogs as Ministry of Truth for Daily Kos at dailykos.com. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jesse LaGreca.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to everybody from New York City out to you guys in Los Angeles. We're glad to talk to you.
And you're in Zuccotti Park, right?
Yeah, I'm here right now, and it's rainy and cold, and I ain't bringing a bro or a jacket, but I'm hanging in here.
And the winter hasn't even begun, right?
Oh, no. I'm hoping to speak to some of our friends from Wisconsin to find out how badgers get through the winter out here. Because, you know, hey, we're going to be here for the long haul. We got to figure out how it's going to work, you know?
So tell me about, I saw you on the ABC Sunday program, and I thought it was actually a very powerful point that you made, that you were probably the first working class person they'd ever had on their show, and it made them visibly uncomfortable. However, they didn't answer that, did they?
No, you know, it's funny because I didn't hear it while I was in the studio here in New York. They were down in D.C. at the round table, but in the footage afterwards, you kind of hear them laugh, and I think they were, like, you know, kind of pleasantly surprised. I think a lot of them, I think a lot of the figures in the media want that candid conversation. It's just so closed off to them that they're not in touch. And don't get me wrong, some of them are way more out of touch than the others. But I think that they live in a universe that's different than ours, and it's kind of necessary for us to bring them down to earth a little bit, you know, with some candid conversation.
Well, you did get a question from one of the pundits, George Will, who sort of tried to give you a trick question, which ultimately was kind of a facile question. What was your sense of that?
You know what? I find that we often in public discourse tend to blame the government as a deflection away from Wall Street. I mean, let's be honest. It's not like the government is bribing the corporations. It's the other way around. And to admit anything other than that is just a fallacy. So, you know, often what happens is the private sector creates this disaster, like the BPH loan. And then people blame the government for overregulating it or whatever it might be. It just totally goes in the opposite direction. And when I see those questions coming, it's just like watching a fastball float over the plate to me, you know?
Well, the point was that, you know, he was trying to suggest to you that if you wanted better government, you were therefore going to, that automatically meant big government, the very, you know, specter.
Yeah.
And I guess this if you've been following the Republican debates, which went on last night, the entire floor was taken up by denouncing government, and in fact, even suggesting that Wall Street was not to blame, but the government was to blame. And in fact, Newt Gingrich suggested that a couple of congressmen and a senator should be arrested. Democrats, of course.
You know, it's really funny to me because when they control government, then it's time to bomb some other country. It's almost like the Republican Party, when they're out of power, they're engaged in class war against working class people here. When they're in power, they're engaged in class war working class people here, and they expand that war overseas. But you know, in my opinion, our largest detractors in the media, in politics, are the biggest recipients of Wall Street. They're defending Wall Street. We're attacking their gravy train, and they take it as an offense to us. But at the same time, where are their solutions? Is their answer really just to let Wall Street police itself and everything will work out? It's almost like saying, you know, if we just didn't have prison guards, then there would never be violence in prisons. It's just nonsense. And no matter what happens, they stick to their narrative because that's just their job. Their job is to sell their narrative. But they have lost everybody but the diehards. And that's why they're trying to make it harder for people to vote, because they know that there's no way they're ever going to buck their wealthy paymasters. They're just going to try to make our democracy harder to participate in out of a hope for freedom. Everything they say is up is down. And I don't want to spend my time blaming the Republican Party, because God knows there's plenty of people who are more capable than me doing that. The problem is the entire establishment altogether. The center of the Democratic Party, the people who tend to agree the most with Republicans, I don't know why they just don't run as Republicans, and the Republican Party itself. There's a very much a governing majority of people in both parties at all times, no matter who wins the elections, that are just bought and owned, wholly owned subsidiaries of Wall Street. And I'm not surprised when I hear their talking points, because they were written by somebody else and you can see it coming.
So again, I'm speaking with Jesse LaGreca, who's been active in the Occupy Wall Street movement from the beginning. He's in Zuccotti Park as we speak, and he blogs as Ministry of Truth for dailycost.com. It sounds, though, like some of the demonstrations are now, given that I don't know that you, all of you on the streets, have had much impact on the people in the buildings, in as much as they're insulated. And incidentally, none of them have gone to jail, but a hell of a lot of you guys have gone to jail. But I noticed that some of the movement marched to the homes of the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, the head of News Corp, CEO Rupert Murdoch, and they also have plans to demonstrate today in front of J.P. Morgan Chase and Mayor Bloomberg, a billionaire himself. Of course, has complained about this. It's wrong to pick on Jamie Dimon, but give us a sense of whether there is a strategy of shame here.
Absolutely. I mean, really, the shame that a working class person feels when they lose their home, when they're no longer able to provide for their family. You know, if we can share the sacrifice, then we can share the shame, too, in my opinion. And we're not even sharing the sacrifice. We're just asking working people to sacrifice for the mistakes made by the wealthy magnates of industry who are just totally insulated from any sort of accountability. But we just had Mayor Bloomberg here a couple moments ago. I wasn't here when he showed up. I understand that he was not warmly received by the crowd. And, you know, it kind of disappoints me, because I want us to be good ambassadors for direct democracy, for what we're doing as far as fighting for working class values. But at the same time, if you're one of the 10 wealthiest people in America and you've been doing nothing but running defense for wealthy oligarchs like yourself while you're making life harder for everybody else, then don't be surprised when we're upset. I mean, you really didn't think you were going to rob the peasants and they weren't going to be, you know, compliant. They do. Not that I'm saying that to you, of course, but, you know, the fact that they seem like they're clueless to the fact that we're upset. It really shows just how detached they are from the reality that most Americans live in.
So, Jesse, what's your sense of the support you're getting? We've seen a lot of clips, and particularly the one clip of you arguing with the Fox producer, none of which was shown on Fox News. You know, and I know that that O'Keefe, the Republican dirty trickster, has been down there dressed as a banker. So I'm trying to get a sense of how much people are trying to sabotage it from the right, and how much you guys feel that you're getting your message out to the 99% of Americans who ultimately, I think, will be sympathetic to this message.
The support is tremendous. And you know what? You'd really be surprised where it comes from. I've seen business people come down here. Like, you really wouldn't think it's like professionals, but they're really upset too. These guys are getting just messed around with by their bosses. They're working long hours. They know that the top guys in their companies are making out like fat cats while they're being asked to work longer hours for less benefits, less pay. So we get amazing support. We get people who send in trays of lasagna. They cooked it at home. It's like, I have no money to give you or anything like that, but I'm going to contribute. We have people bringing down, you know, toiletries, mouthwash, stuff like that, medicine. People stop by for an hour a day just to see how things are going. The support is tremendous. It's not stopping. People are really excited about what we're doing. Our government failed us so poorly. It's time we start making our own. And what really drives me crazy on the political aspect is that you have one party that's just totally attacking us because they're not to be taken seriously. We're bad-mouthing their gravy train, and that's an assault on their economic values. On the other side, I'm very frustrated that I see Democrats giving us our support, and I'm appreciative of that. But I don't need your support. I need your action. I need you to get out there and fight for a jobs bill if there's one, or propose a jobs bill, or propose a bill to restore Glass-Steagall, or to institute a financial transaction tax, or take the lead in the Attorney General foreclosure fraud meetings, and maybe, you know, send some of these guys to jail if they broke the law, which clearly they did. And that's why Attorney General Eric Schneiderman didn't go along with their risk scandal, let the bankers get away with it. I'd like to see these guys put their money where their mouth is. Instead of going on these talk shows and saying, yeah, we should occupy Wall Street, I don't need your support. I need your action. I need you to do something. And if you expect to get elected by just co-opting this movement and giving us platitudes and promises, then you got another thing coming. We need some action. Words are meaningless at this point.
Well, Jesse LaGreca, again, I was so struck by your appearance on the Sunday morning talk shows, in as much as it was a refreshing breath of honesty to see a real person there, and you made the very powerful point that you're probably the first working class person they've ever had on their show, to their obvious discomfort. Clearly, in the last campaign, the Republicans, through John, and particularly in John McCain, tried to make Joe the Plumber a kind of a working class icon. But do you think that there's a possibility to break into the media cocoon, and do you think that there's a chance that people like yourself will start getting airtime and being taken seriously? Because of the whole dialogue is completely mediated by, as you know, by very comfortable political insiders in the media and in politics, and they totally mediate the dialogue. And again, we never hear from guys like you.
And you know what? I think people want to hear from guys like me. They want to hear from people like themselves. I really don't care what somebody at a cocktail party said who's connected, and it filtered down, you know. For me, for instance, my shirts are dirty today because my celery maid was too busy cleaning the caviar out of my Tuscan linen. It's that kind of mentality. It's like, you know what, your advice is just invalid because you don't experience life the way the other 99% of us do. Now, I don't want to just badmouth these guys because I want to encourage them to engage in the dialogue. I'd like to see them bring on well-informed people who aren't in the upper strata of society, because I think that's the message that really appeals to people. They know, we know as working class people, where you come from, what you're fighting for. It's obvious. That's why these shows have such poor ratings, because most of us don't care what four rich people have to say. Even if they're qualified, even if they've got the experience, they just don't know what our lives are like. So I would love to see more attention paid in the media, not just to taking a 20-second soundbite off the street of a man on the street, but to bring people such as myself or others into the studios and seriously ask them, you know, hey, unemployment's at 9%. How is that affecting your life? What do you think should be done to fix that? I think you're going to get the same answers over and over again. Tax the rich, end the wars, regulate the economy in a way that they can't just destroy the whole system because they're too big to fail and their fraud is just rampant. Now, I can give you a ton of instances and policies, but the larger conversation is having the lower 99% involved in the conversation. Because if our government is simply, you know, a two-party system that agrees on 98% of the economic policy and they're just divided by wedge issues that don't really affect anybody unless they're motivated by hatred, then we have a serious problem. We don't have a democracy if both the choices are generally the same. If I go to a restaurant and their menu has two choices on the menu and I don't like either of them, I'm probably not going to go back to that restaurant anymore. And I think that's where a lot of people are frustrated, both in our side and on the Tea Party. I mean, really look at it. In the last 3 years, you've had this continuous shift of just total outrage. And obviously, our political leaders aren't solving the problem. They're gridlocked. They fold against, you know, the corporate interests. They fight for the corporate interests. We don't have our votes in politics. In economics, it's the same thing.
So
it really just doesn't surprise me at this point.
So, Jesse, you really feel that that you have solidarity out there in the land, that this 99% idea is not a wish, but a fact?
Absolutely. I mean, in my opinion, I think the 99% doesn't do justice to the truth. In reality, it really should be more like we are the 99.999%. Because the people who are at the higher echelon in the lower brackets, like if you're making $250,000 a year, you're really not the problem. I'm really not mad at you. You're not the guy who's got a butler and a private jet that you refuse to pay taxes on. You're probably a working class guy who's, you know, a little bit more successful than other people. Maybe you have a spouse that has a better income than other people. And you're just doing your thing, but you're not living large. You know what I mean? Now, those people are also, in the same instance, 6 months away with no income of just being crushed by debt that you're not going to get out of from under for years and years and years. So in my opinion, I think the 99% message is a unifying theme for working class people, but we should also recognize that there are people who are successful who are totally not to blame. They're just as much victims as we are. And we see them here at Zuccotti Park all the time. We see these guys who are Wall Street employees who aren't, you know, the big guy in the office, and he takes a lot of garbage from his boss, and he doesn't get paid well enough, and he's mad too. So I think, you know, it makes me laugh when I see these conservatives who are just bigoted and against every single minority you can come up with, and they're complaining about dividing people from each other. The reality is we're united against their oligarchy. We're united against their fraud. I'm not anti-capitalism. I'm anti-crime. That's the real message.
Well, Jesse, I appreciate your message, and I appreciate you joining us here today.
I'm very thrilled to do so, and I'm hoping to visit Los Angeles as soon as possible. I hear you guys have some very intelligent, motivated people out there occupying your territory, and
sure.
I'd love to come and visit and see how it's going.
Yeah, I went down there the other day, and come by the studio if you do. Come to town. We'd love to talk to you again.
If anybody would like to donate to Flyer Miles, I'm more than glad to go out there.
Okay. Well, we'll see what comes in. Thanks a lot.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Okay. Again, I've been speaking with Jesse LaGreca, who's been active in the Occupy Wall Street movement from the beginning. He spoke to us from Zuccotti Park in New York, right next to Wall Street, and he blogs as Ministry of Truth for DailyCos.com. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Jeffrey Sachs.
Stand a little closer to the lessons that we learned.